It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host...
Gina Wagner?
What's your favorite color? This is Gina Wagner from
hauntedflower.com
and hauntedflowerreviews.com. Today, for my guest, I've got Richard Propst from independentcritic.com.
I guess you're right.
2 weeks in a row, Rich.
Yes.
Whoa.
I don't know what Kobe's doing wrong.
It's like you're the next Robert Irvine.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into all the awesome films today...
And we have a lot of awesome films.
We have a lot of them.
We have a lot of films.
So we better hurry up and get in our plugs to appease Matthew Soze, who is not here, because...
Where is he, Gina?
He is doing a live radio play, It's a Wonderful Life. I think we all remember that one. It is presented by the Wisdom... I can't do that. You guys are killing me.
This is great. 2 minutes. This is going in the year-end show.
But it really...
I thought it was a movie, Gina. It's a radio play now?
It's a radio play.
But it's on stage.
I don't know why.
What is going on?
It's a Wonderful Life in Anderson.
Well, I think it's because Matthew Soze
really?
Is in it. And that's why it has to be radio.
Matt's directing. And I think he makes a cameo as well.
Good, because he's good at radio, so he should be in his radio play.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, oh gosh, you're just going to have to read this so I can get the giggles out.
Here we are. It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play written by Joel Landry, directed by the one and only Matthew Soze. Presented by the Wisdom Tooth Theater Project, December 8th through the 10th at 7:30, and December 11th, that is this weekend, at 2:30 at Byram Hall up on the campus of Anderson University. Tickets. $5 for students, $12 for adults, and $10 for seniors. That's going on this weekend. And I guess after it's done this weekend, it's going to be coming downtown to Theater on the Square, as I understand.
Yes, that's what I have heard as well. And I believe showtimes will be at 8 o'clock for the evening shows and, again, 2:30 for the Sunday show.
Yeah, it's too bad we don't know when it's going to be there, though.
Is it the next weekend?
I'm on the internet.
Okay.
I'm going to look it up.
All right.
Cool.
We'll get back to you on that. In the meantime, we could start talking about the shows if Kobe's okay with multitasking.
Let's do it.
All right.
Hang on. Just don't hit me with a trailer real quick.
Okay. Well, I'll just let you know then that the first movie we will be talking about
would be
Young Adult, starring Charlize Theron, and it has a script by Diablo Cody, which is hilarious.
Who did Juno?
And director Jason Reitman from Up in the Air.
And also Juno,
which I loved Up in the Air.
Did you?
I did so much. I wanted that movie to win that year.
Are you sure it wasn't a George Clooney thing?
No, I don't have a thing for George Clooney.
Okay.
I'm a young person,
I think,
Richard.
Most of America loved it. Wow. Have you seen the women he dates?
Oh, you mean the, like, future WWE diva?
Exactly.
I heard she's been recruited.
Wow.
All right, I've got a trailer here. I think it's the right one. I named it something different because. Oh wait, no, yeah, this.
Did you name it Hello Kitty shirt?
No, it's
a Wonderful Life. We'll know it's.
I named it Girl, and I think it's the one.
Oh, it does star a girl, so we're on the right track.
Yes, it's the girl from high school that nobody.
Yeah. It's the only one starring a girl this week, so let's assume it's right.
Let's listen. Here we go.
What are you doing back in Mercury? Or you move back, or?
Of course not. Gross.
on the 11th floor and I'm watching the cruisers below.
Psychotic prom queen, bitch.
Down on the street.
Here's the deal. Buddy Slade and I are meant to be together, and I'm here to get him back.
I'm pretty sure he's married with a kid on the way.
No, kid's here. I'm cool with it. I mean, I've got baggage, too.
I would keep all of this to yourself. I would find a therapist.
That new baby of his is just darling.
Have you seen it? Up close? Whiskey in a satin in a rock gold and liberty party hat. Shot. Oh, God, I could do better than. You know what? Oh my God. She's an old time
ambassador. God, you are a piece of work.
Can I help you find something?
I'm going to a rock concert with an old flame.
Let's show him what he's been missing.
No, he's seen me recently. He knows. But his wife hasn't seen me in a while, so. You can come to the city with me like we always planned.
Mavis, I'm a married man.
No, we can beat this thing together.
All right, that was the trailer for Young Adults. Oh, this movie made me laugh so many times.
That's because you have a dark side, Gina.
Maybe, because
I'm
cold like that.
Thank you, Richard.
Well, like I said before, this movie stars Charlize Theron. She plays Mavis Gary, who is this woman who we find out is 37 years old, but she's just never really let go of high school. She's a young adult author, which she's very specific about. She's an author, writes high school dialogue all the time, and one particularly blue moment decides she's going to go back home to her small town and look up her high school boyfriend, Buddy Slade, who is played by Patrick Wilson. And yeah, he's married, has a kid. There's no problem with that. She's just going to go for it. Because that's what she does. She goes for it. And she's just one of those characters who does not realize how delusional or funny she really is. Mm-hmm. But the thing that really cracked me up is when she comes face to face with the baby for the first time. I could totally relate with that moment.
Oh, come on. You love babies.
No, when I first greet them, I feel very uncomfortable. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
What do you think? They're going to, like, rip you a new one or what?
Well, I know I'm expected to right away admit how cute they are.
Yes.
And they're usually
I don't
ugly.
Always feel that.
They're usually ugly.
I wasn't going to say that. I was just going to say I don't always feel that they are cute.
So you're saying that your problem with meeting babies is your...
There's all these expectations.
Your honesty gets in the way.
Yeah. I have trouble faking it. But she does not have that problem at all.
Which was refreshing, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
And along the way, she also met Patton Oswalt playing a boy who she went to school with, whose locker was right next to hers. She never really met him before. But they just kind of hang out together, vent their problems, and form an interesting relationship.
We've all been there.
So I loved the writing. I loved the acting. And this film just kept me very entertained. And I liked the ending. Not a lot of people, not everybody will, but I like where it went in the end because I felt like it was an honest place to go.
It's a more authentic ending than we usually get.
Absolutely.
In theatrically released.
Yes.
Films.
There wasn't fireworks and Tweety birds flying around or anything like that.
Tweety birds?
Well, I guess that only happens if someone gets injured.
I thought Patton Oswalt was just amazing in this film.
Absolutely.
I mean, I just thought that he was, he's a stand-up comic who just nailed the dramatic side of the humor he was doing. In the film, he's been the victim of a very serious crime while he was in high school and kind of lives with that edge. And I don't know. There was just something about him I absolutely loved. And like you, I loved the writing. I loved the acting. Thought the film dragged a little bit in a couple of spots. But, I thought it was Jason Reitman maybe being a little less concerned about marketability and just having some artistic integrity and having fun with it.
Yeah.
If you like dark comedy, you'll enjoy
yes.
it.
Yeah, Patton Oswalt was just so authentic. And I love that, especially the main character, there were people in this film where you felt like you knew them. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe not to this degree, but you've seen this girl. You've met this girl who's just completely out of her mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and there are things I'm still thinking. I mean, like, I still remember the fact that she writes the Waverly Place books.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the script stayed with me, which...
Oh, little quotes from the trailer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it. So, that was our opinion of Young Adult.
This is what I'm getting from it.
Now, that was a good movie.
Right on. Okay. The next one, not quite a dark comedy. The next one's going to be Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, starring Gary Oldman and his glasses.
Both of them?
Yeah.
Let's take a listen.
I'm retired. There's a mole right at the top of the circus. He's been there for years.
I need you to do something.
You have to assume they're watching. If you're caught...
What the hell are you doing up here?
You can't mention me. He's a fanatic, and the fanatic is always concealing a secret. Hello, Ricky.
I needed to see you.
Why?
There's a woman.
I know who you are.
She had information concerning a double agent. What she told me was sensational.
Tell me.
He killed our man in Istanbul.
It has become so ugly.
We've been the only thing standing between Moscow and the Third World War.
Now's the time. It is one of five men. All I want from you is one codename. Tinker. Tailor. Soldier. Spy.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and the plot of this film. Okay,
I want to know what the title means.
Well, yeah. First I'll tell you about the title. Turns out that those are code names of different characters.
Oh!
And Gary Oldman is kind of like the spy because he's trying to investigate. But he's investigating for a mole, so maybe that person's supposed to be the actual spy. Anyway, there are lots of cute little pictures attached to chess pieces. One of them is the tinker, one's the tailor, one's the soldier, and then Gary Oldman they consider to be the spy.
The spy.
Yeah. Yes. So he is retired from some sort of like MI6 organization called Control that reminds me of Get Smart, but more serious. There are no shoe phones in this movie, unfortunately.
Oh. And no Steve Carell.
Yeah, so basically they retired him, and then they're like, oh, yeah, we found out we have a mole, so we think maybe you're the best person to figure out who it is. And he's like, I don't have a problem with that, so I'll spend the rest of this movie investigating with my glasses. And he recruits help.
What is it with you and the glasses?
I'm sorry, but the only thing I knew about this movie going into it was that Gary Oldman had a difficult time selecting the perfect eyeglasses.
I think that's why he gave such a great performance.
Well, I was just so disappointed that the whole article was about that and nothing to do with the movie.
It was a great movie. It was a great performance. And the glasses rock.
Okay, then you tell me about the movie then.
What can I tell you? It's based on a John le Carré novel, which those of you who heard the title probably already knew that. Gary Oldman, he's going to get an Oscar nomination for this film.
I don't doubt that.
He's not going to get the Oscar win because, first of all, nobody's going to go see a film called Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. That's just my theory. No, I'm only kidding.
I thought that the score was really great, particularly in the beginning.
The score was great. You know, you have your typical quality British cast.
Colin Firth.
Colin Firth is in it. Toby Jones, John Hurt, Mark Strong is in it, who... you know, plays every bad guy ever created. Benedict Cumberbatch, only because I want to say that name.
I love that name.
He's also in War Horse this year. He's in a couple of other films.
And who does he play in War Horse?
The horse. Thank you very much. You thought I wouldn't say it, but I'm going to go there. No, he does not play the horse. Don't send Matt Soucy a bunch of letters because I steered you wrong.
I really thought the horse was the best actor in that film, though.
Yeah, he did the whole pain scene really well.
I felt it. Anyway, this movie. Okay.
What did you think of this movie?
I'm going to admit outright that I did not fully get everything even going on in this film because we were introduced to characters with names.
True.
Then we were given code names for these characters, and I'm matching those up in my head. Okay. And all the while, there are code names for different projects and groups like the circus and things. And I'm like, I never figured out what the projects were or what was going on. I know a guy got shot, and I wasn't even sure which side shot him. And I was just a little confused about what
American
was going on.
American spy movies, you get lots of action, lots of distraction. Mm-hmm. British spy movies, you get lots of dialogue and lots of plot.
Intrigue.
Exactly. So this film, it makes you think. I'm honestly going to have to sit down and watch it again before I write the review because there's a lot that's going on.
There are no explosions, but there's a very intense trying to steal files from a library scene. Without a proper card.
It is not the Indianapolis Marion County Public Library. Let us stress that. So
libraries are dangerous places, but it's not as exciting as like GoldenEye.
Librarians are dangerous. Let's be honest. Librarians are very dangerous. So
well, that's why they have such severe hairstyles.
Wow. And they usually have glasses.
Glasses.
Exactly.
All right, so basically my assessment of this movie is I didn't get it.
No, he doesn't get tortured, and the beaver's not Jewish. So,
okay.
However,
I'll see it anyway.
All right. However,
see it anyway.
Right. All right. The next movie that we're going to review.
Oh, I know what one it's going to be. I know what it's going to be.
Which one is it going to be?
I bet it's going to be New Year's Eve.
That's right, Kobe.
Oh, I'm so good at this.
Let's listen to that.
Some people swear there's no beauty left in the world. No magic.
Oh, come on. We've got to do something to get you out of your New Year's Eve funk.
Then how do you explain the entire world coming together on one night?
It's New Year's Eve, bro. We're doing something.
To celebrate the hope of a new year.
My New Year's resolutions. If you can make these come true by midnight, you get these.
4 tickets to that party? You called the right guy.
Is that your New Year's dress? It's just something I'm working on for a rainy day. You should wear it tonight.
I mean, New Year's is the worst night of all to go out. People who don't drink, let's party all year, suddenly going all Kanye on you.
Last year, I met a girl, and she was extraordinary.
My water just broke.
Hold it.
You look beautiful.
I've been plotting that slap for years. It wasn't nearly as satisfying as I thought it would be. That was closer.
Good one.
This is the biggest night of my career, and if I screw this up...
You won't.
The countdown begins.
Let's do it! Don't raise your
blood. So, what do you think? Somebody's gonna have a happy new year.
Resolution number 2. Be amazed. Woo! Are you amazed? Check.
Who are you gonna kiss at midnight?
So you went out for a slice of pizza, right? And you may have just run into the one. You know what that's called?
Insanity.
Serendipity. You don't mess with serendipity.
That's what New Year's is all about.
Is it New Year's Eve?
Is it? So raise your glass if you are
there's going to be more celebrities here than we have.
I'm freaking out.
We're partying.
It's freaking out.
Nothing beats New York on New Year's Eve.
Wow.
Yeah, you really don't need to hear anymore. Everybody under the sun is in this movie with a
recognizable
face.
Sofia Vergara is in this.
Is Benedict Cumberbatch in this movie?
No, he's not.
He's the horse.
But could you really pick him out of a lineup, Richard? Really? You don't even know who he is.
I'm going to start a fan club for him.
All right. Well, this movie takes off from where Love Actually and Valentine's Day...
That doesn't make sense because Valentine's Day is in February.
Okay, here's the problem. Love Actually is a great movie.
It is.
It really mixed these great stories together with a lot of fantastic British actors and some American actors and just really did the job well. Were a few of the stories a little overly sentimental? Yeah. But it was a Christmas movie, and you were totally willing to accept that.
Absolutely.
And as a result, I get to watch it every year during the Christmas season.
Oh, that's
because
sweet.
It's good. I put up my Christmas tree watching
that
movie
sometimes.
So you do
have a warm, sensitive side.
I do.
Cool.
If it's good.
Do I ever get to see it?
No. anyway, Then you have Valentine's Day, which is like the Americans being like, oh, we can totally do that. We've got acting skills. Let's put Ashton Kutcher in it. It'll be great.
No, it's not. He's
that
terrible.
Doesn't go with acting skills, by the way.
He's just
I
awful.
Am being sarcastic.
I know.
But yeah, that movie was wretched. I hated the plot lines. I hated so many things about it. I mean, maybe there were one or two good stories in there, but
you're talking
the rest
about,
of it,
are you
Valentine's
talking about
Day.
Valentine's Day. Okay.
Valentine's Day.
So then they're like, hey, that was so great. Let's make a movie with even more characters
went to
and
see-
more
okay, now,
plot
wait
lines.
Wait a minute. Does okay? Is Ashton Kutcher the same character in New Year's Eve as he is on Valentine's Day, or is this, or is it like a bunch of the same people but in different characters?
Well, I think this is him displaying range, because in Valentine's Day he was this optimistic guy who
was
passing out
flowers. Yeah.
Yeah. In this movie, he's so bummed out, man. You can tell because he grew in facial hair and is in his pajamas the whole film.
Oh, so is
so
but
he's
is he
totally
is
depressed.
He still a florist though?
No, he's not a
okay.
florist.
So they totally change up like everybody's like
yes.
character roles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like same actors, different people.
Yeah.
Because it's not the same universe. This is like a parallel universe.
It's a
if you want to get with it.
Come on.
A different holiday, different people. So, yeah. Anywho, there's just like a million people in this, and they're used so poorly. A lot of things just really drag on. Like the storyline with Ashton and Lea Michele from Glee. You're like, okay, this girl from Glee is in this movie. She's totally going to get to sing. Well, in her big moment where she's going to sing to Ashton for the first time in the elevator, she ends up sharing that moment with Bon Jovi in a duet with a big band behind her, and they both suffer for it. Because it doesn't make either of them sound great when they're having to share the song in different locations. It wasn't even that good of a song.
That sounds awful.
It was. And that's just one example of many. You've got Hilary Swank running around freaking out because she's going
to
lose her job if the ball doesn't drop the right way.
Wow.
And then when you find out her twist ending, you want to smack her in the face for ever worrying about her job on such an important day. Just wanted to smack her so bad.
I just want to smack her so bad for being in the film.
Right. Abigail Breslin's in this, and I can't believe how grown up she looks.
Wow.
She's having like a teenage love story, but unfortunately, Sarah Jessica Parker is her mother.
Oh, and, that is unfortunate.
And we all know
she's,
how
she's
much I love
well.
Sarah Jessica Horseface. So,
quit insulting horses.
I'm sorry. She is terrible. But don't worry. She'll find love.
Acting.
Everyone has to find love eventually.
Wow. Even on New Year's Eve?
Yeah. And would you believe
That's when it's supposed to happen. If it doesn't happen on Valentine's Day, it happens on New Year's Eve. Are you picking up nothing from these movies?
I don't get it.
Okay, so
I'm waiting for the Arbor Day film.
So get this. This is a real stretch. Bon Jovi plays a rock star named Jensen.
No.
So why? Jensen. My first thing is, why doesn't he play himself?
Yeah.
Why is he pretending to be someone else?
That's
he could
how
just
he
be
shows
himself
range.
And already be a... No, no, this is how much range he has. He has winning smile, sad.
Oh.
Those are it. That's all he
I
has.
I can't believe you're dissing John
and
Bon Jovi.
The sad thing
Dude,
is
he's gotten soft.
No, no, this is the worst part of it all. His arc is pursuing Katherine Heigl.
Oh. Who has made every bad comedy known to humanity.
Oh, and she is awful in this. She can't even maintain being angry at him. She
really?
Slaps him twice really good, and then at the end of the film when he, like, does something for her, she, 1 second, like, oh my god, we're gonna be together again and have makeup sex.
Hey, Gina, will you do that again?
Oh my god!
That was the highlight of the show right there.
Okay, I love Sophia from Modern Family.
Yes.
Love her so much. And she's kind of a watered-down, dumber version of Gloria in this film.
That's too bad.
But most of the funny moments do come just from her.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And mostly because I like to repeat things she says after she says them because I think she talks funny. She just really cracks me up. She has great comedic timing, seriously, but just underutilized. And the saddest thing of all is the subplot with Zac Efron and Michelle Pfeiffer where he's helping her. He's helping her with all these New Year's resolutions. And,
is it a Mrs. Robinson thing going
on? No, no, no.
Okay.
The plot line itself is sweet. He's helping her with these resolutions. There's some nice moments to it. Zac Efron's character is... They throw in a stupid thing, him saying something shallow on the phone she overhears as a conflict, but it's sad.
I wish everybody listening could have just like seen you roll your eyes when you said that. That was really good.
But the sad thing about it is that I did not know that was Michelle Pfeiffer until the end of the movie when the credits rolled. She is so far from Catwoman in her appearance in this film. I could not recognize her.
So
she's
far
so
from Catwoman in terms of what? Performance? Look?
She's just really mousy, bony, okay. And they just made her look so hideous, and it made me really sad because I remember that actress who was Catwoman. I remember that movie being so cool when I was younger. And seeing her now, I'm like, I don't even recognize you because you look so awful in this movie. It made me
That's
really
not very
sad.
Nice, Gina.
But no, it made me sad to see her that way.
Wow.
They just made her look bad.
What about Robert De Niro?
I guess nobody told him it was a comedy, but you can't blame him because his character
Maybe
is dying.
He was making Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
No, he's pulling out the drama. He's the only character with drama in this film because he is an old man who is dying.
Oh, that's sad.
And he's hoping to make it to midnight because he wants to see the ball drop because that's important to him.
Oh, yeah, Halle Berry's in this.
Halle Berry's a nurse. She sits by his bedside for most of the
movie.
Bring
it on.
Oh,
works for me.
She's very nice. And actually, the scene she had, her, you know, everyone gets a twist at the end where you find out what they want in the film. Hers was really sweet, and that was a good scene.
Wow. So you're saying the film, basically Halle Berry's the highlight?
Sophia Vergara.
Sophia, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
But despite Gina's scathing comments, the fact that it has Halle Berry in it is enough for Richard to see it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going right after the show.
Yeah, so I will admit, there are moments.
I have to see this.
I have to.
Well, there are definitely moments worth seeing in the show, but the movie as a whole, because there are so many people, so many plot lines, so underdeveloped, like a scene in an elevator goes from here to there that fast that it's totally unbelievable.
How far can an elevator go, Gina?
Only about 5 floors.
Exactly.
But but you know what I mean. It's so unrealistic, and it makes me angry. And so there are times where I was just beating the back of my head against the chair because I just wanted a scene to move on. So it was a little torturous
at
times.
That sounds like a rousing endorsement of the film.
Yes. Yeah. This is what I'm gathering from your review, Gina.
It's awful. I don't even know what else to say. It's just awful. Don't be bothered by it.
It's dumb.
Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. So get your facts straight.
That's unfortunate.
There's no excuse for that.
But this might...
There we go.
It is all of those things and more.
Wow. You know, people are actually leaving the show right now to go see it.
Yeah, because they just need to know how bad. Wow. So the last film in theaters we're going to be talking about, which Richard saw...
I bet I know what it is.
I bet you do, because you saw it and I didn't.
Wow. Why is it that the guy in the wheelchair gets a film called The Sitter? That's what I want to know.
You chose it.
Thank you.
We didn't
Thank
even
you.
Rock, paper, scissors for this.
Okay, The Sitter is The Further Decline. I know, that was bad, but I had to go there.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah. No, it stars Jonah Hill as, what do you think?
The Sitter?
Very good,
okay.
Gina C.
I was just checking.
No, it's directed by David Gordon Green, who at one point was a promising director.
Oh, when was that, Richard?
It was early on in his career when he directed a film called George Washington.
George Washington?
Yes, who, ironically, it was not about the president, but it was a really good film.
Nice.
Yeah, and then he made a couple of other promising films, and then he made Pineapple Express.
Hmm.
You remember that?
I do.
James Franco getting stoned,
it
basically.
It was stoner fabulous, apparently.
Exactly. And he made money doing that, so he's now trying to make money making bad films. And he made Your Highness, which...
That was just awful.
Just awful.
Just awful.
Inexcusable.
Well, the good news is The Sitter is actually better than Your Highness.
Thank God.
So...
Yeah, I can't stand the trailer for The Sitter.
You can't? Why
not?
No,
because I want to smack the children.
That's not
the
even
children
play
or... Oh. Well, yeah, the children aren't really great in the film. Let's face it, it's about Jonah Hill, who is, of course, a sitter. He is a suspended college student who is hired to take care of these three kids. And if you ever saw the 1987 film Adventures in Babysitting, this is the R-rated version of that film,
mm-hmm.
basically, with a much uglier babysitter. Because let's face it, Jonah Hill is not a looker.
No.
No, he's not. So,
what kind of adventures can we expect to see them going on?
Well, you basically, he loses kids. The kids do damaging things to property, damaging things to him. There's a lot of F-bombs in the film because, of course, it is R-rated and it is Jonah Hill. You know, The sad thing for me is with Jonah Hill, you know, here's a guy who's had a couple of good performances this year. He was in Cyrus, and then he was in Moneyball.
Moneyball mm-hmm. was amazing.
I really enjoyed him in Moneyball.
I thought, you know, both films showed that he had a little bit of range. You know, he's not ever going to be an award-winning actor, but he solid actor. And now he's gone back to being, you know, the fat, funny guy.
Cliche.
Yeah. It's a lot of, I don't know. It was a lazy script. It was lazy acting. He did not have a great chemistry with the kids. Not that that seemed real possible because, yes, the kids are pretty irritating in the film. I probably didn't hate it as much as some of the critics will. Truthfully, if you're a fan of Jonah Hill and you kind of like this lowbrow comedy, there are moments in the film that work really well. They're just followed by a lot of empty space. So not horrible, not good. Yeah, if you're looking for mindless entertainment, maybe.
Well, it could have been Arnold Schwarzenegger, Vin Diesel, or Jackie Chan babysitting the children. So I guess it's slightly
that
different.
That would be really frightening.
Well, they've already, all of them, done that.
They've
at some
already,
point.
I know.
We've all seen one of those movies at least.
Or all of them, if you're film
critics.
Well,
if you've seen one of them, you have seen all
you
of
have
them.
You have seen all of them.
Well, Jackie Chan has more kicking.
Kicking the children?
No, just kicking in general.
What a sentence. Oh, okay.
Kicking impossible. So what do we think of that?
That's just so sad.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
It just wasn't that great.
Yeah. My favorite of the four titles, I think, is obvious. I prefer Young Adult out of the four we
out
just
of four,
reviewed.
There's no question. Of course, you know, but oh, come on, New Year's Eve.
I think it's, you know, your friends will want you to go see it, so you probably will. And a lot of you will probably enjoy it more than I did.
I think Young Adult is a way better date flick than New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Defy Hollywood.
When we were in the theater, Dan was the only guy for New Year's Eve.
Exactly.
So, yeah. All right. Moving on. We're going to talk about movies that came out on Blu-ray.
After we take a break.
After we take a break.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show on WFYI HD to the Point, Indianapolis.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open a video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Video store is open. Listening to Film Sociology, Film Shock, Film Talk Show. On WFYI,
Film Shock Show makes more sense.
Indianapolis, we've got a blog at filmsociology.tumblr.com. The show is available as a podcast Monday morning. Thank you, Melissa.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some DVDs
Melissa
and Blu-rays.
Rocks.
All right. And we're going to start with Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Say that 10 times real fast.
No, because there's a character in this movie that does that for you.
Oh.
Oh.
I will buy the DVD just for that reason.
All right. So, stars Jim Carrey. Based
no.
on the children's book.
Jim Carrey with animals?
I know, it's shocking. He spends a lot of time with penguins who aren't really there.
Is he a bad parent?
Well, they're there in the movie, but they're all CGI penguins.
Let me guess, he's a bad parent.
He's a bad parent.
No!
And he's going to use these penguins to reconnect with his children.
That rocks.
Yeah. And he's going to turn his apartment into like a winter wonderland so that the penguins can
be
more comfortable.
Kids love penguins.
And he might teach the penguins how to dance because it's a penguin movie.
Oh my gosh, is it like
dance.
A real life Happy Feet?
It's like that, but with less singing.
Oh, it's more like Happy Feet 2.
Yeah.
They made that.
More dancing.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so we already lost the, you know. Oh,
and
well.
No Robin Williams.
So this movie, it's just... It's really bad, unless you're a kid. If you're a kid, you probably like it because it has penguins in it and Jim Carrey making big faces and just making a fool of himself and making things sillier than they need to be. Like, if he breaks into a room, maybe he'll just suddenly start yelling in slow motion. Because we've never seen him do that before.
It gets kind of embarrassing when you're over 40 and still doing that shtick.
It kind of is because he's doing so many things you've always seen him do. Imitations, snide comments to people, faces.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's good at all these things, but we've seen him do this so many times.
Actually be a human being.
I never really liked Jim Carrey because of all that. Like The Mask and Ace Ventura. It's like,
it was funny early on when he was really young, but I really liked seeing him mature and start picking up other movies like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Love that movie.
Of course, nobody went to see it, but
I'm sure. But yeah. I wish he would do more stuff like that because I think that that's really where he can be utilized better. But everyone knows he can do this, and I'm sure he made some good money off of it, so it's there. And your extras on here.
And it employed penguins. So
yeah,
you know.
No, they didn't. They were computers.
Oh.
So you can have an animated short where the zoo guys chase the penguins around, deleted scenes, a gag reel where you can watch Jim Carrey do all those things he does when he's goofing off. And you can find out a little bit more about the book, which is completely different than the movie. the only things they have in common are that he happens to get a bunch of penguins. That's about it.
That's pretty much the film.
Yeah.
No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no! No!
Unless you have children that you want to shut up for an hour and a half, then it would be yes, 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 yes. Because it has penguins. But I cannot watch this film. So next, we're going to talk about something a little bit more award-worthy. The Help. Richard,
are there any
you want
penguins
to take the lead
in it?
On The Help?
Are there any penguins
tell us
in
about
it?
The Help. There are no penguins, but there are lots of maids.
There are lots of maids.
There's lots of help. There are the help.
This actually, I think this surprised people with how well it worked.
Yeah,
I mean there was a ton of promotion. A lot of people thought it would be that one of those feel good, you know, Hallmark greeting card movies, and it really wasn't. It was a movie that combined humor with a lot of heart, with a lot of, you know, pretty strong social statements wrapped in there too. It was really great. I thought Emma Stone plays Skeeter, who is a young woman who has just graduated from college. She is an aspiring writer who kind of, you know, returns to her hometown and decides to kind of becomes friends with some of the local maids and decides to write about their dilemma, which basically is inequality, being treated horribly by
not being able to use the bathrooms in the house.
Exactly. You know, a lot of the characters, the supporting characters in the film, are drawn very broadly, but they're drawn very well and they're acted very well.
My favorite character, besides the maids, was Jessica Chastain playing the housewife that was shunned by the other housewives because she stole someone's man. And she lived in a nice, big, fancy house, and she just couldn't get along with anybody. And I just really loved her character because she had so much energy all the time, but she was also very sad. And I loved her relationship with the maid that she hires, and I just loved that. And Bryce Dallas Howard is a scary, evil woman again.
She's covered snarky really well this year.
Yeah, between this and 50-50.
Yeah,
she is a bad woman.
I want to avoid her. I'm kind of wondering what Ron Howard did wrong.
Yeah, she makes Pretty look evil.
So Viola Davis, you talked about the maids, Viola Davis and Octavia Spencer, amazing performances, definitely award worthy. I'd be surprised if both of them are not nominated.
I would totally nominate both of them. I love them. They carry this movie.
They do. Emma Stone is solid.
Solid, but she's
sure
kind
she's
of outshone by the others,
yeah, she really.
Really
is. Kind of reminded me of Matthew Broderick's performance in Glory. I don't know if you remember that older film, but
oh yeah,
kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, one person's leading, but everyone else is doing really, really awesome. So
yeah, exactly.
Kind of raises the bar a lot.
It comes in a 2-disc combo pack.
Deleted scenes, history behind the making of the movie, and the stories. And
if you love the movie, you'll love the package. I mean, it's really well put together.
I think my only complaint about the movie is that it's really long. When I was watching it, some scenes just felt a little bit longer than they needed to be. But if you are loving the movie, then you'll probably enjoy the extra time spent there.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to so many people who either laughed and cried through the whole film. So. Mm-hmm.
So good times with
yes, 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 yes.
All right, and the next one we have is a real ridiculous comedy, The Hangover Part 2.
There's another one?
Yeah, but you know what? If you saw the first one, you saw this one.
Yep.
This is pretty much the same movie, and changed some of the jokes in it. You know, if someone's missing
location.
A tooth in the first movie, they have a facial tattoo in the second movie. If there was a missing groom in the first movie, there's a missing brother-in-law to be, et cetera, et cetera. There's a monkey who deals drugs. They're in Thailand.
Because monkeys are funny. They're
actually funnier than penguins, I think.
Yeah, so a monkey totally trumps a baby in this movie, apparently. There's no tiger. But, you know, I guess that would have been obvious. They're in Bangkok.
Wow.
I guess the biggest mystery of this movie is how Ed Helms ever got that chick to marry him. Because she was hot.
And it really doesn't address that mystery.
No. But, you know,
we're supposed
the same...
to accept it.
But, you know, we've got Ed Helms, Bradley Cooper, and Zach Galifianakis up to their shenanigans again. Dr. Ken, Monkey... all being ridiculous.
Dr. Ken is...
he just talks funny.
Is there a film he hasn't been in the last couple of years?
No. What did I just see him in?
I mean, he's
I wish
in
I could
everything.
Remember. He was in some ridiculous movie where he was just on a TV show that was like, hit the school teacher or something. I don't know. Something
don't
goofy.
Know.
Anyway.
I mean,
wish I could remember.
It doesn't have the spontaneity of the first film because you're expecting so much of it.
Yeah. No, and the whole time the other characters keep going to Zach Galifianakis. They're like, what did you do? You must have done something. We know because you did something last time. No. Totally didn't. It was the marshmallows.
So it's kind of a,
spoiler alert. It was the marshmallows, everybody. Just put
I'm
it
not
out there.
It. Wow.
I just
ruined
that whole movie. Because that was the one surprise you didn't have.
You probably just killed the sales of the DVD.
No, I didn't. Because if you loved it, you'll watch it anyway.
Okay.
Because movies like this are more about rewatch value. Yeah. And watching this movie is like rewatching the first one. So
it would be weird to watch it while having a hangover.
Oh, that would hurt.
Double hangover.
You'd be
that
so
would be
confused.
Weird. I think I want to try that. Okay.
He's
you
got his
party
mind
animal.
Made up.
So... Hangover Part 2, if you really, really like the first one, you'll like this one, but it's not any different.
I'm just saying, it's snoozable.
There you are.
Or something. All right.
I couldn't really get into the first one.
Yeah?
And like the whole thing, like everybody's like, it seems everybody is so crazy about Zach Galifianakis now.
You know, I remember the screening for this movie. They gave us all energy drinks. And I made Sosie take a picture of me, like, attempting to chug mine. I'd never had an energy drink before. He's always teasing me about us kids and our energy drinks. I'd never had one before that showing. And I really don't know if it made the show any better, but it made my arm shake.
Wow. You so don't need an energy drink.
I do not.
That's...
me on caffeine is scary, which I always am when I come into these shows.
Wow.
Be afraid. So,
I am.
Richard, you're going to take the lead on the last three movies because you've seen them and I haven't.
I am?
Yeah, so you're going to be talking about Into the Abyss, Cave of Forgotten Dreams, and Mangus.
Mangus.
Yeah, so whichever order you want.
Let's talk about
the
Werner Herzog films first.
Let's do that.
Okay. Look, Into the Abyss is actually coming to Indianapolis this weekend at the Keystone Arts Cinema.
Nice.
It's opening, and it is a documentary. Don't let that frighten you, because it's a very good documentary. Would not be actually. Let's see. I don't think it was shortlisted. Come to think of it, for the Academy Awards, which is kind of rotten. I don't think either one of his docs this year was shortlisted. This is a film about a couple of folks, a couple of young men who killed a couple of people. Yes.
Whoa.
You should see the look on Gina's face. It's a look of horror.
Yeah.
It really is. No, a mom and her son, and one received the death penalty. One did not receive the death penalty, but is in prison for the rest of his life. And it's really kind of an examination of the justice system. It's an examination of capital punishment. He actually did an interview just a few days before the one who was executed. He did an interview with the man who was executed, and it was a very powerful, disturbing interview. If you've ever watched a Werner Herzog documentary, and when he does narration or voiceover, he just has a great voice. It's almost poetry at times to listen to him, and it goes really well with this kind of a film. It kind of struck me as a documentary version almost of an In Cold Blood type of examination, just in the sense that he really tries to be balanced. You know, it's real clear that he's against capital punishment, but he does a really good job of looking at both sides of the issue. There's amazing archival footage, amazing interviews. I thought it was one of the year's best documentaries. I was really disappointed that it's not shortlisted for the Academy Awards. This is one, if you're into social justice types of issues, if you're into Werner Herzog, you will definitely enjoy this documentary. So get out and see it.
It sounds really powerful. I'm really disappointed I didn't get a copy of it to check out.
It's awesome. You should borrow it from one of us.
Okay. I'll bug you guys tomorrow.
Okay.
Any film critics listening, bring your copies to lunch.
Bring your copies to lunch, because that's what film critics do.
Well, we're all going to be picking the awards tomorrow
for
the Indiana Film Journalists Association. So we're all going to be duking it out over a few titles, which will remain nameless.
Until they're announced. But we're looking forward to that. And then Cave of Forgotten Dreams, which is another documentary that he did in 3D. He went underneath this cave in France where the oldest known drawings...
Cave drawings
exist. And, I mean, just the accomplishment of going under there and ending up with a quality film is just amazing.
And apparently the 3D on this is really, really cool, too.
It's amazing. And, again, I'm really amazed that it was not shortlisted. It's not the kind of film that I would ever expect to win a Best Documentary, because it really is more... almost of a photo journey, photo essay type thing. But again, I really loved it. I believe it is now out on DVD, so you can pick that up and rent that. So I definitely recommend both of those films, especially for Herzog fans. But both of them are very different, but to think that he released them both in 1 year is amazing to me.
Wow. And that was another one where I saw the trailer, and I thought the trailer looked really cool, but I did not catch the film yet. So I'll have to look for that.
Another one for the film critics to bring to lunch tomorrow.
Yeah, if anyone has it.
I don't have that one.
Okay. So tell me about Mangus.
Mangus,
what is that?
This is a great film. I think you would like this because it's dark, it's funny.
There's no babies in it, right?
There are no babies in it.
How about animals?
You're making me think, Gina. That's
okay,
always
I will
dangerous.
Stop. No, don't lose your train of thought.
No, this is an Ash Christian film, very popular writer, director in the LGBT community. This is about a young man who wants the lead role. It's kind of a holiday film, but in a very dark sort of way.
Mm.
You remember Hamlet 2?
No.
No, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Hamlet 2, kind of a weird twist on some kind of alternative themes. He wants the lead role in his town's production of Jesus Christ Spectacular, which, of course, is kind of a spinoff of Jesus Christ Superstar, kind of a blue-collar version. And his father had the lead role, and his father before him had the lead role. So
naturally, he has to have the lead role.
He has to have the lead role. But something tragic happens. He ends up with a very serious disability.
Oh.
And we know we can't have a disabled Jesus.
No, he's probably got to do stuff in the musical.
Exactly. It's kind of hard to walk on water when you're in a wheelchair.
But you could roll.
Well, that kind of humor is all throughout this film. It's just, it, you know, one of the things I like about Ash Christian is as a writer and as a director, he's willing to go there. He does these low-budget independent projects. You have a kind of a B-cast, Heather Matarazzo, who was in, you know, right now it's completely escaping me. She's done a lot of
independent. Should I get out my IMDb app?
Jennifer Coolidge, John Waters makes an appearance in the film. Leslie Jordan, who is hilarious in anything he does. And basically, it's about this young man and the community that surrounds him fighting for the right to play Jesus, even though he's become disabled. So it played in Indianapolis. If you go to the LGBT Film Festival, it played at the festival last year. Played in art house theaters around the country, but it's been on just released on DVD this week, and it's definitely an independent project. I think that if you kind of can go with a more alternative vibe, it's definitely one I recommend.
Well, cool. Sounds awesome.
Yeah. Sounds like a resounding yes on everything here.
Yes!
Well, that's good, because it means there's a lot of cool stuff coming out, and you're not limited to only a few choices this week.
Exactly. You know, sometimes you have to look a little bit deeper to find the quality films. You know, that's, you know, one of the things I think is an advantage of folks like us is that we help you discover independent films that, you know, may not always play the multiplexes, but they're good quality films that you can go out and look for. And they, you know, the great thing about the internet and the digital age is that you can now get these films far easier than you used to be able to get.
And not every movie has the splashy appeal of New Year's Eve and all the faces to bring the money to the theater.
Splashy.
Exactly. Splashy. Because it just feels like it's thrown out there.
It's formula. The last film worked, so this film is going to work. And unfortunately, predictably, it usually happens.
Yeah. What do you usually do on New Year's Eve, Richard? Do you watch the ball drop?
You know, I used to watch New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was my thing, except, you know, I miss Dick Clark.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't in very good shape last year.
No,
yeah.
Towards the end, he was orange with his career in New Year's. I couldn't get over his color.
it's kind of sad. So it's kind of moved away as a tradition. It's not like Christmas for me, you know.
It's never been a big deal to me. I've never really done anything special. So I guess that was part of my confusion of, wow, all these people make this huge deal out of it. I'm like, it's another year. It happens every year.
Wow.
I have a calendar.
The new calendar's here.
Yay, this one has puppies on it. Anyway.
You're buying a Mr. Popper's Penguins calendar, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But other things you could enjoy this weekend would be the It's a Wonderful Life live radio play. Matthew Soucy would very much enjoy that if you went to enjoy it.
Director Matthew Soucy.
Director Matthew Soucy. You can probably call him Captain if you want.
Yeah,
I'm sure he'd enjoy that.
He'd be down with that. That is this weekend, the 8th through the 11th at Byram Hall on the campus of Anderson University, and then next week.
It's a long-running show.
The crowds have been great, but next week.
It's like Phantom.
Next week, it will be at Theater on the Square Friday and Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon, so you can check that out as well. Matthew,
why do they call it Theater on the Square?
I'm guessing it's
not
a square
on
shape.
A square.
No?
Maybe it used to be.
Is it a square shape building?
Is it a square shape?
I don't know. I've never been there.
Okay.
Ron Spencer.
Well, apparently we all need to go.
Let's go.
To see this long-running radio play. It's a Wonderful
It's a classic.
Life.
It's better than Cats. It's awesome. Why wouldn't you?
Wow.
I guess other stuff happening in the area is...
What's going on with Haunted Flower?
Hanaflower is so good right now, and you should do all your some of your holiday shopping at hauntedflower.com.
No, do all of it.
Don't back down, Gina.
You could do all of it. I mean, it's, give everybody it is a t-shirt. Good. But you can get all great t-shirts there. Big Bang Theory.
I heard
and all
you
sorts
have
of stuff.
Soft kitties. Actually, no, I know you have soft kitties because I
and
I
we know why.
Did you buy one, Kobe?
There's
no,
some that are
you can
very
admit
big
it,
fans
Kobe.
Of
yes.
that.
No, I didn't. I didn't get a soft kitty, but I know somebody who has a soft kitty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, we have the plush toy, and it sings the song.
Yeah.
Do you know the
I
song?
I don't even know what soft kitty is.
Oh,
I've
it's,
never
it's
heard
from
of
the show
soft.
Big Bang Theory. The
Please.
Character needs to be sung to him when he's sick. And it's just soft
what?
Kitty, warm kitty, little ball of fur. It's really sweet.
Wow.
This just in from Dan. It appears that the
rush
soft
out.
Kitties are sold
oh, no,
out.
Oh, no. We're sold out of. What about the shirts? The shirts are in. You can still sing the song yourself when you're wearing
a shirt
it.
If
to
you
other
can't
people.
Have a soft kitty.
Hey, knock it off. Go find a real kitty. Lots of kitties need homes this time of year.
That's right.
Go
to
the
Humane
Society this holiday.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
See?
Keeping
we're
that.
We're plugging everything.
Keeping that. Holy cow. That was just fantastic.
And speaking of Goodwill and all that, I'm doing the Jingle Bell Run 5K tomorrow downtown for arthritis.
Awesome.
For arthritis or
taking down
arthritis
with my
You're like promoting arthritis?
I'm going to run
running in the name of arthritis.
Arthritis. I'm going to step on it so bad.
Where's the track go?
Well, it's starting and ending at Conseco Fieldhouse.
Cool.
So that'll be lots of fun.
Yeah.
And oddly, what attracted me to the project is not only do I get a long sleeve t-shirt, but I get
a soft kitty.
Everybody loves free shirts.
No, I don't get a soft kitty, but I get jingle bells to tie to my shoes.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to be a noisy group of runners, and it's going to be awesome.
You're not
you're
wearing
not
the
spirit
them to our
that.
Meeting tomorrow, are you?
Please do.
I should.
That's irritating, Gina.
And I'm going to swing
that
my feet under the table just
you,
to bug
but...
you.
Wow.
I'll be kicking you with my jingle bells.
That's it. Kick the footless man.
You know, you walk into this stuff. Oh, you roll.
Oh, yes! Yes! Awesome!
I
oh
walked into
gosh.
That one. Richard, you get me every time with your snarkiness. Gosh.
I love that.
Oh, how do you do that?
It's
not
a
hard.
Film sociology
it's not
if I don't
hard.
Do a foot joke. Okay.
You just do it so none of us have anything to say back.
Oh, yeah, we're winding down. What can I say? I could sing the Footloose
man.
Theme. Okay.
No, we won't.
Okay.
All right. So what do you think is going to be in your tentative top 10 since we have just a couple minutes left? Two of them.
We have 2 minutes.
So just a few titles that you think will make it into your top 10, maybe, even though you haven't assembled your list yet.
I'm pretty sure Mary...
Martha, Martha,
Marcy,
May, Marlene?
Yeah, that fell.
M4.
I can never
just,
remember
just
that.
Just call it M4.
Hugo.
You know what you're talking
Hugo.
About. Hugo.
High on my
I would
list.
Agree with Hugo.
I'm pretty sure that that's going to be there.
Did you see The Artist?
The Artist is definitely going to be there.
Definitely. It might take the top slot for me. It's
close. I'm weighing it. That's probably my top three right there.
Yeah.
So.
Other ones I really liked were Super 8. It might make it up
really
there for the top
that.
10.
I saw that. Really cool train crash.
Yes.
That's what anybody, that's
train
like what
crash
Matt,
in
that's
film.
What Chris, everybody talks about when they come on. Oh, Super 8's got the best train crash since The Fugitive. It was pretty cool.
Well, let's face it. We've seen Aliens before, but train crash of that magnitude is pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
So wow. It even trumps Visitors from Outer Space.
And spider rocks? Rock spiders?
Rock spiders do not make my top 10 list, but I'm pretty sure that's going to make my top bottom list.
Awesome.
I'm a Razzie voter. I cannot wait.
Are you really?
I am a Razzie voter.
Oh,
that's cool.
You know what
I'm
else is going to make it on the worst?
What?
The Change Up.
Oh, yes.
That movie is so horrible.
You, it will be on the
oh,
worst.
Gloriously yeah. horrible. Just painful. Peeing oh. in a fountain. Terrible wow. movie.
All right, we got to go plug your sites. Rich.
This is Richard Probst from TheIndependentCritic.com.
This is Gina Wagner, if you ever hear from me again after this show, from HauntedFlower.com and HauntedFlowerReviews.com and IndieMojo.com.
You're listening to WFYI 90.1 HD to the Point, Indianapolis. We gone!